The notion of a running mate has taken on new meaning in the presidential race as campaign spouses have stepped into the spotlight. We're spending time with some of them, and we recently caught up with one. In this case, someone who's not afraid to speak her mind.
This election, everybody knows, and you can tell by the size of the crowds for somebody's wife, that it's a pretty important election. We have to get it right.
That's the wife of John Edwards, Elizabeth Edwards, speaking to about 75 people at a meet-and-greet event in the town of Lee, New Hampshire.
It's actually two quick questions.
Can you tell I actually don't do quick?
Sometimes it seems that Elizabeth Edwards' sharp-tongued candor earns her as much attention as her husband. She said that Barack Obama's positions on Iraq are, quote, holier than thou, and she's taken several swipes at Hillary Clinton, saying she is divisive and unelectable. On the day we trailed Edwards, the only candidate she focused on was the one she's married to.
We have the most progressive candidate, and we have the best chance of winning. I think we can all go home now, can't we? I feel like I've got such an easy job, you know, because we have this constellation of things that we rarely get in a candidate. But we have it this year. And when you know,
facing a family room packed with New Hampshire voters, the 58-year-old exudes a kind of folksy intelligence, a political wife with a law school degree who seems like she could whip up a batch of apple fritters while ticking through the finer points of foreign policy.
We don't want regional war. Now, that's where you get the regional partners involved and participating in this. We're presently seen as imperialistic, something I don't remember in my life being viewed as imperialistic. We changed that by getting out of Iraq, by making certain that people... Companies who are making an economic decision right now to move a business perhaps to Mexico are going to find, under trade agreements under John, they're going to have to actually pay more wages and their plants are going to have to be cleaner. And
Edwards is a campaign spouse with a degree of celebrity in her own right. That's largely due to her book, Saving Graces, which details how she coped with the death of her son and the discovery of breast cancer in 2004. This spring, the Edwards announced that her breast cancer had returned, this time in a treatable but incurable form. Yet the Edwards decided to press ahead. They took their two youngest children out of school to tutor them on the road so the family could campaign full time.
Your turn to ask anything you want, and I'll try to answer them. There's sometimes I have to plead wife. I'll try not to. But if I do, I promise that we'll get you the answer right away. So it's New Hampshire. I'm expecting to see a hand by now. Yes, ma'am.
Elizabeth Edwards says she is not a surrogate for her husband, but rather a strong opening act.
My dream, actually, is to drive people to go listen to him. I guess there'd be some ideal where I actually convince somebody on my own to vote for him. That would be terrific, but I'm not counting on that. And I really think they ought to take the measure of the candidates themselves anyway. But if people ask questions, become interested in his policies or his vision or even his story, and that makes them go listen to him to decide whether he has what it takes to be president, then I've done my job.
One of the first questions you got at the first house party in Lee, New Hampshire, came from a woman who wondered how the campaign would respond to the sort of rough and tumble aspects of the campaign as you got into the general election. If things got dirty, you know, were you willing to respond and respond quickly?
When things get dirty, most likelihood, yeah.
and you said that, and you said this before, that when someone hits you, you have to hit them back.
John's father, used to tell him when he was a boy, you know, aim for the nose. You sort of get more bang for your buck there. So you have to aim for their vulnerability and make them understand that there's a cost associated with attacking you. You're not going to lay down, that you're strong enough not only to take it but to hit back. It gives you an opportunity, I think, you know, when you're fighting on even ground, to redirect the conversation to something more productive for voters.
You know, voters have said that they're so tired of dirty politics.
Yes, I tell from the inside, we sure are too. But doesn't mean that you can say, I'm tired of it and therefore I'm not going to be prepared for it. You have to be prepared for the chance that it happens with an idea of how you're going to respond and how you're going to redirect the conversation back to stuff that voters not only want to hear but need to hear.
You have been very candid on the campaign trail.
You noticed.
Yes, I have. And I'm wondering if you have felt that in some way the filters have fallen away, that as you wake up each day and face what you yourself have called precious time, if you feel that you are experiencing a bit of disinhibition, that you feel like you can say what you want or need to say.
I always have, honestly. in 2003 and 2004, I traveled around and spoke my mind every place I went, but I didn't get followed by the press so much. This year, there's perhaps because of the presence of a wide variety of spouses on both sides, so, you know, from movie stars to ex-presidents, that's a pretty big span of people. But anybody who heard me in 2003 or 2004 saw exactly the same kind of candor. I'm not a great speaker, but what I am is somebody that people recognize when they listen to me, that I'm trying as hard as I know how to be honest with them. I'm not going to get the good speaker thing. I'm 58. I'm not learning that stuff now, but I do have the sincerity factor or whatever, and that means answering questions straight up.
You know, as you're out in the campaign, traveling from house to house, stop to stop, state to state, do you ever reconsider the decision to campaign through your illness?
No, I don't. You know, there are times when this was true when I went to work as a lawyer, or I'm sure it happens to everybody whose children who go to work with their children. Every once in a while, the children don't want you to go. And so there are times like that that every mother has, regardless of what she's doing away from her children. And those are hard moments, but never nothing to do with cancer. I don't think about it. I don't have any symptoms. Think about it when somebody asks, or when I've got to remember to take my pills, or when I, you know, have an appointment to make. But aside from those, I'm being perfectly honest, does not cross my mind.
You know, this is a difficult question, so I'm going to try to ask it delicately. You're feeling good right now. As the illness progresses, if your husband is elected, you're
so in if the illness progresses, though, Michelle.
Okay.
Yeah.
If the illness, I have to ask this, though.
That's fine.
And your husband is elected, and you're in the White House, and you don't feel so well. I wonder, you know, how the two of you have talked about how you will handle this, not just as a husband and a wife, but as a president and a first lady. If he needs and wants to be by your side, if you are not doing well, can he be the husband he needs to be to you and the leader he needs to be to the country?
One of the things that I think puts us in a unique position is that we have been through extraordinarily hard times. And that is, in 1996, our 16-year-old son died. In that moment, when I needed care, and frankly, John needed care, and our daughter Kate, and all of our family needed attention, John was still able, in those moments, those truly devastating moments, to do not only that caregiving, but all the other things that he accomplished at the same time. He didn't pull the covers over his head. He can do more than one thing at one time, even when one of the things is incredibly devastating. I also think that, you know, there's no prognosis about how long I'm going to live. I think that one of the things I think my job is to stay alive long enough for there to be an answer. All of us around the country who are suffering with cancer know that there's an answer out there. We know it's there, and we just have to put the resources behind finding it.
Mrs. Edwards, thank you very much for speaking with us.
It's really nice to spend time with you.
As for the cancer, the Edwards are holding on to hope and hoping that voters will do the same. Elizabeth Edwards spoke at three House parties the day we trailed her in New Hampshire, and we spoke to several voters who liked what they heard. But for Democrats intent on winning the White House, there was also a concern about electability, the idea that it's not enough to like a candidate or a spouse. They have to be convinced that the candidate can win.